verses 1 through 8.
Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ, because those in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life, set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, was weakened by the sinful nature. God did by sending his own son in his likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. So he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have the mindset on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mindset on what the Spirit desires. The mind of a sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by sinful nature cannot please God.
Thank you, Cameron.
Let us pray before we. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and died for us, as we celebrated last week. But he not only died, but he arose again. And he not only arose, but he went to sit at the Father's right hand to intercede for those of us who know him as personal Savior. Or henceforth, we have that glorious hope. He left us the Spirit, the indwelling mighty power of the Spirit, to keep us and to keep us through this life. Bless us as we look into your word, as we try to serve thee and to live lives pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus' holy and most precious name we pray. Amen. It's only difficult to follow after these young people here. You might as well just wrap up and go home. You know, it was really amazing. And the thing that gets me is that once you have a group like this, we know that we have a future. We're not just the old heads just gathering here. We have some young heads who are going to take our place pretty soon. And we thank Kevin for the wonderful work he has done. I presume it was much easier with them than with me. As I tried it, I said in our ABS class that my hands couldn't handle it, so I fell by the wayside. I'll try it again, though. But thank you, Kevin, and all those who work with those young ones on that good arrangement there. We could almost sit back like at a jazz session and just enjoy it. But we'll do that at another time. We're going to enjoy the word as we look into it now. You know, a lot of times we come together, especially at Christmas and Easter, like we did last week, and Brother Gary preached a wonderful message and talk about all the things that it's my point well taken here. In that, anyhow, his point was that God has some things to say to us, things that we need to get for this Easter. And he mentioned five things that we things to get this Easter, and we enjoy it. And he was great at it, and the Lord spoke through him. And unfortunately, as you saw right there, even after review, I lost it. You know, we get all pumped up for Easter, we get all pumped up for Christmas, and then we go out and we say, oh, back to the grind, you know, back to the same old. We got to go deal with some issues as we talk about men earlier in the ABS. That comes up time after time. I won't mention it. The men know what I'm talking about. And ladies, we got to deal with work, we got to deal with cooking, and we say, back to the grind. Why can't we stay on high? Why can't we keep this fervor of the Spirit going? And for some reason, we don't. Statistics shows that we forget 95% of what we hear. And that's why we try to let you write some of the things down so that you can remember it. But what am I going to do today is not go as deep as my good brother there did last week, or my good brother, Mike Carter will do, or even Brother Trevor, who's away in Jamaica. I think he's coming back next week. Let's pray for his safe return. But I'm going to keep it real simple. I'm going to give you three simple things to keep you on high, to keep you through the week, to help you go through the week. Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 10, I think it is, that this life was not just meant to be endured. We should enjoy it. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We should live victorious lives. We should live victorious lives. You hear, amen? And we should live victorious lives. That would cause us, other people, to be attracted towards us. Because the world is looking for something. Something that can ease their pain. That can ease their suffering. And it is through our Savior Jesus Christ. That song that we sang about, I'm Forgiven. Every time I hear that song, I almost want to tear up. Because of what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ done for me in particular. To love me, to come and die for me. You know, if you know me right, well, who would die for me? You know I'd die for my wife and kids, but probably other people, you know, most of you wouldn't want to die for me. You'd say, oh, probably not. But my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died for me. And I'm going to give you three simple tools. Simple, it'll probably take us 15 minutes or so to go through it. Things that you can easily remember that'll help you as tools to keep you through the week and the daily struggles. As it comes, folks, the difficulty comes. Though we're Christians, we're not immune. As somebody says, the rain falls upon everybody's head. You know, this week was real tough for me. It seems like whenever you start to prepare a message, you get attacked from various sides. Yesterday, I was just laying in my bed. So, let me do something good. Let me give somebody a call. Let me do something good. And the conversation ends. So, when you seek to do good, bad things are going to happen. So, you're going to have to go back to the source. And the source we're going to talk about later as we go through the three tools, so to speak. The first one is, let's look in. There are three types of look. The first one we're going to talk about is walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. The moment we become saved, we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Agreed? Amen? The moment we become saved, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So we've got tremendous resources at our potential here. We've got tremendous power within us to overcome the difficulties of life. The problem is that we don't harness these resources. We don't listen to the still small voice. And as a brother was saying, he's not here, he's gone next door. That still small voice of the Holy Spirit whispers to us, just like the Spirit there in the little drama whispers in our ear. But a lot of times we just like tune it out. We just forget it. Every time he whispers something to you, you've got to act on it right away. Don't let a moment go by. We've got to act upon it, and it'll take you through. So we've got to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go to the next slide, probably, Cameron. How do we walk in the Holy Spirit? There's three things that we can do to walk in the Holy Spirit. First of all, we've got to read the Word. We've got to read the Word. And no amount of preaching here and you listen to us reading the Word here can do it. You have got to read the Word. And I sympathize with you. And I'm speaking to myself too. Because it's not easy to read the Word, especially with this sophisticated, fast-paced life that we've got here in the North American culture. You know, for me, I get up at 5:30, I hit the road, and I'm back at 7:30. And if I ever stop, you know, if I go to live, which is trying to die, and I'm trying to make live not die, my daughter says, stop, but, you know, but I'll get home at 9. And if you think about that, there's hardly much left. Because by the time you settle down, it's 10 o'clock, and you better go to sleep. So there's not much to do. And many of you out there, your lifestyle is like that. So you say, where do I find time to read? You can't find time. You've got to make time. You've got to make time because it's a good thing. It's a good thing to read the Word. It is a good thing. And if you've never experienced that good thing of read the Word, I'm asking you, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you to try that good thing. Try it. And if you try it and it doesn't work out, let me know. Okay? So the first thing we've got to do is read the Word. It says here, it is It is to be with him, and he is to read it in all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow careful all the words of this law and these decree. So from the Old Testament, we're being taught to read the word. I think there's a next slide there too. Blessed. What does blessed mean? Happy. You know, happy is that temperamental thing, that up and down. Happy is the one who reads the word for this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it. So you hear it and you read it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. And we'll talk about the time is near later on. So you can experience joy and happiness if you read the word. And from scanning this room, I think that most of us know how to read. Probably some of us are better readers, but we all know how to read. We might have to read it in French, or we might have to read it in Spanish. I don't see a Spanish speaker. But whatever language, the Bible is available to us in multifarious languages, and they keep spreading it out. So we've got no excuse why we shouldn't read it. But we've got to adjust our lifestyle to read it. Is it not going to happen? Me just reading it here, I'm not going to say trick. It's not going to do it. You've got to experience it yourself. So you've got to make some time, carve out some time to read the word. Go ahead, Cameron. Okay, the next thing in walking in the Spirit, you've got to pray. You've got to pray. And most of the times we pray, give me this, give me that. And, you know, we think that God is a sugar daddy, you know, yeah, most of us. Well, we got to pray a little bit deeper. We got to pray based upon what we read. But we got to make time for prayer. I know most of you here, well, for my kids and probably some others, you've grown up in a school system where you're not familiar with praying, so it's not a second nature for you. But for most of us older heads, you know, prayer is a second nature to us. But we've got to pray. We've got to ask. There's nothing too small that you can't approach the Lord in prayer for. We've got to talk to the Lord. We don't have to talk in these sophisticated, complicated, just talk to him, because he's just a thought away. We've got to pray. What does the scripture say about praying the word, Cameron? And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. I know some of you, when you just come to the Lord and you hear the older heads or the older, more mature Christians pray, you think, whoa, I can't pray like that. But remember when Jesus took the little child and placed him on his lap when the disciples wanted to shoo them away? That's how we ought to come to the Lord. Pray simply, just what's on your mind. Just lay it out to him. Move on, Cameron. Okay, the third way in harnessing or walking in the Spirit is to do the word. The Bible talks about us looking in the mirror, seeing ourselves, and going away, don't know what we look like. We've got to do the word. And Jesus was very annoyed, or came down heavy on those who knew the word and did not do it. And I probably shouldn't say this, but it's hard to understand how some people know the word so well and then go away and do the opposite thing. I don't understand the dynamics of what's going on, to actually know the word and refuse to do it. Let's see what the scripture says here. Cameron on doing the word. Do not merely listen to the word. And that's what we're doing here, most of you here. You're listening to me, and there's probably around 40, 50 of you here. You're going to interpret what I say 40 or 50 different ways. But you just don't merely come in here, be spectators, but you need to do what it says. And James, the book of James, if you've ever studied it, we've studied it a couple of years ago in ABS, where it's more about your action, your faith manifesting itself in action. So we've got to be active. We've got to do something. We've got to do what the word says. And we can't do what the word says unless we read it, right? So it starts with prayer and reading the word, and then we can do it. Some simple things, not too complicated. Okay. Next slide, Cameron. Okay, so we're talking about look. Now, the first one is to look in, where we look introspection, because we're indwelt with the Spirit. Then we need to look out. And we might spend some time here. Look out. We need to see the needs of others. It blessed my heart this morning when I saw someone who can't drive, who has been ill, can't drive, and another sister go and pick her up and bring her here. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, she might have gone out of her way a little bit, and gas price is what it is now. Everybody could either say, I can't do that, you know, it's going to cost me more. But we need to look out for the needs of artists. And how do we, the various needs, you know, that we can itemize. Let's just look at some of the needs of artists that there is. All right, before we get that, Philippians says, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Folks, it doesn't make sense just to just focus on yourself. Think about it. Let's think about it. If I'm concerned about Audrey, and Audrey is concerned about Paul, and Audrey might be concerned about two or three people, and I'm looking at the needs of each one of you, and you're looking at the needs of everybody else, at some point, somebody's going to be looking out for me. And I'm going to probably have more than one person looking out for me. Make sense? So, but if we sit here and we just focus on my needs, I've only got one person looking out for me in terms of us. So you see what makes sense if we look out for the needs of others, especially that we're blessed with different skills and abilities and talents. Look out for the needs. We're in a society where, you know, everybody want to get ahead, and the tendency, I got to walk on somebody else to get ahead. And that's how it says to get a, you know, look out for number one. You know, but that's not what the scripture is teaching here. We need to look out for each other. Let's see how we can do it in some practical ways. Go again. Keep going. Let's look. The first one is the emotional needs. People have emotions. We're created with emotions. God created our emotions, and people have emotional needs. Some folks just need you to come and sit by them, just to hear them out, because they need to express themselves a little bit here. So emotional needs are one of those things where we can, people might be struggling with broken relationships. And you might just be able to share, or just to hear them out. So those are some of the needs, one of the needs that we could. The next one is physical needs. And talk about physical needs. I don't want to say, you know, we should be a church that look out for the physical needs of each one of us here. If our refrigerator is broken, we should find a way to help that person. If we have money problem, and talk about money problem. This is a time when just about everybody, you know, you're probably one of few that don't have money problem with the economy the way it is. We should come to the aid of those. It's tax time. How many of us know to file our taxes? How many of us do? Have we reached out and say, hey, do you want help in filing your taxes? Here is something that you can do to not give our wonderful government too much, because they'll take it. Now, I'm not telling you not to pay your taxes, but you shouldn't pay more than is necessary. You know, and if I'm good at that, I should offer my services. We have physical, we each have physical needs. Is my car running properly? There are lots of single ladies here with might have car problem. When last have you changed the tire? When last have you changed your oil? I know there's some good mechanics here, but the tendency when you go as a single lady to the mechanic shop or to the place, they're going to take you for a ride. Just going with a single lady, they're going to buy a car. How about going with them as a man to make a difference there? These are some of the simple things that we can do in meeting the physical needs of each other. And you know what that's going to do? Once people hear about what things like that happening to PCC, people are going to want to come in. People are attracted to a good thing. And if a good thing is happening here, then people are going to come in. I'm not saying that good things aren't happening here. We got, you know, the numbers here are quite huge relative to what it was. But these are the things we need to step up on. What are the other needs that we could have, Cameron? Social needs. Folks, I'm a little bit shy, if you believe it or not. I don't make friends easily, but we need to get out of the house. We need to get out of our comfort zone. We got to go out to where the folks are. They're not going to just come in. We've got to go to where they are and communicate, interact with them. We got to go visit folks, you know, and it's not easy to go visit folks. I think about when I was coming home, and I've got a two-hour drive, and, you know, I enjoy the ride, just that the gas price is high. I enjoy the ride. It gives me time to think through things. But I'm coming home, and the Spirit says, go visit this brother. I'm like, man, I don't want to do that. But I listened to that voice that says, go visit this brother at the hospital. And I went there, and I was blessed more than he was. You know, the brother had just gone through surgery, and he reached his hand out like this. And I could see what it did for him just to see somebody come out showing an interest in him. And the family was there, and he prayed with them. And you come away being blessed more than if you had not gone. But you know who was telling you, oh, you can't go do it? The devil. Say, you can't go. You need to go home. You've been driving 2 hours. Just stay on the highway and keep going. But I was tremendously blessed by just getting off the highway, go visit the folks. And that's what it's saying. Friday nights or Saturday nights or something, go visit a brother or a sister. Call them up. Can we get together? Can we have Starbucks? No, probably Starbucks are too expensive. Can we go to McDonald's? McDonald's, they say, have better coffee. On a side note, the irony about this McDonald's and Starbucks coffee is that McDonald's way back wanted Starbucks to have their coffee thing inside of McDonald's, and Starbucks said, no, we're not interested. But anyhow, yeah, you can take them to McDonald's for a coffee. You know, I know we work hard, and I don't want to say we have 100-200 jobs, but a lot of us have many jobs, and we work long hours and lots of hours. And I know a lot of our members here are nurses, and it requires 12-hour shifts, right? And after you do that, you've got nothing left. But I'm telling you, if you take time to interact with folks, you will be blessed. You know what that is doing when you interact with folks? It's taking the focus off you. It's taking the focus off you. And some of the things that we are concerned us or we worry about are nothing. They're never going to happen. But we spend so much time focusing on us, and it depresses us. We don't have a good testimony. We need to get out of our comfort zone, go visit folks, and get a blessing from that. What's the fourth thing that we need to do, Cameron? Spiritual. There are lots of folks out there with spiritual needs. There might be folks here with spiritual needs. Don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You know, I've said this before, and you might say, yeah, I've heard it before. You know, I'm blessed to see your brother Moses, who didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and now he's up here giving thanks. You know, because his spiritual need was met. Somebody shared Jesus Christ with him, and there's lots of them out there. You know, I don't want to focus on Jamaicans only, but there's at least 150,000 Jamaicans out there. You know, so if you talk Jamaican, then you can probably communicate real easily with them. But there are lots of folks out there with spiritual needs that need to be met, can make a difference in their life. You know, Moses has never been as handsome as he is since he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, Moses? He's smiling. Well, I'll spend some little time here on helping folks. You know, a Christian's unwillingness to serve, you know, is going to destroy their capacity. And what did Jesus said? I came not to be served, but to serve. I know it's probably a Caribbean attitude that, hey, I want to be served. But we are supposed to be servants. You know, the challenge for us as leaders to manage PCC is that it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where the church is a body, and every one of us have at least a spiritual gift. It's to manage his spiritual gift, because sometimes the hand wants to speak, and we've got to tell that hand that you can't speak unless you learn sign language. But sometimes the feet want to speak, and we've got to say, you know, brother, you're blessed in this way. That feet is doing tremendous job. Keep on walking. But managing these resources. But whatever your spiritual gift is, use it for the blessing of the Lord. We were tremendously blessed here by these young folks. All because Kevin went the extra mile, because his giftedness in music, he extended to somebody else. Folks, we should not be a reservoir of all these resources here. We should not be a reservoir of these spiritual gifts. Our spiritual gifts are given to empower other people. It's no good for us, ourselves. It's meant to build other people up. So whatever, however God has gifted you, it's not to be a reservoir for yourself. It's to be used for other folks. And if you've been doing that, stop and change direction. Use it for the upliftment of other folks within the church. Finally, now, look. We said we want to look in, meaning the Holy Spirit within us. Then we look out, how we can help for others. And finally, we look up. Watch for his return. You don't have to answer, but how many of us have ever heard, lately heard a message on the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? People say, it's been 2,000 years. He's never going to come. So we don't hear that anymore. So we think, I don't have to be bothered. But what does it say in 1 Thessalonians? Go there, Cameron. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voices of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. After that, we who are still alive and are left behind will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other. Encourage each other with these words. Folks, the Lord is coming back. I don't know if it's the end of this message, but he's coming back. And I think Dr. Vernon McGee, I think it is, we used to preach all the time on Revelation, but he's coming back. It's real. It's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's still there. That portion didn't fell out of the scriptures. So while we should be ready for his return at any time, we should continue to do what we ought to do, but be aware that he's going to return at any time. It might be 10 years. For certain, if it's 100 years, all who are within the sound of my voice won't be here, because we will have gone to reach him for sure. But whether it's 5 minutes, 5 years, 100 years, or 1,000, or 10,000, he's coming back, because his word has always been true. So we should live like his return is imminent. Not because it hasn't happened, we're going to just forget about it. I've said a lot here in this half an hour, and many of it is to Christians. And if you don't know the Lord, it doesn't mean much to you. But if you aren't a Christian and you're here, and you know, if I wasn't a Christian and I hear of being indwelt by God himself, I'd say, man, I want to have that. That's tremendous potential. That's tremendous potential. There's a lot that I can do if I'm indwelt with the Holy Spirit. So if you're here and you never said to Jesus, come into my heart, come take control of me, indwell me with the Holy Spirit, now is the time. Because guess as we said here, he might return now. Or better yet, there's another side to it. We might go to eternal damnation, or we go and meet him. So if you're here and never made that ultimate decision of accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, now is the time. You can't say later on that I didn't hear it. I've tried to make it as simple as possible so that you can remember, look in, look out, and look up. Real simple. You know, sometimes, you know, we're sophisticated people. We are not Americans, right? We're the most powerful country in the world, and we are pretty advanced. But sometimes it's the simple things that get us going. And I've laid it out real simple, so that we can live an abundant life. If we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, if we look out for the needs of others, and we consider that the Lord can come at any time, this life we will be able to live it to its abundance, like how the Lord meant us to live. We shouldn't be walking around with long faces. Yes, difficulties are going to come, but we are empowered. We've got the Spirit of God within us to overcome. And we shouldn't be under any situation. We should be over the situation. And in that being, draw others unto us. So that being said, let us bow in prayer. Probably you're here and you have never said, "Dear Jesus, come into my heart. I am a sinner. I acknowledge what you've done for me, that you've come and you've given your life just to redeem me. You've shed your blood, that ultimate sacrifice. Just raise your hand to indicate that, yes, I want to align myself with you. I want to give my life over to you." Or probably you're here. You said, "Donat, I hear what you say, and it's good, and I feel good, and everything sounds right, but man, once I get out of here, it's back to the grind. It's back to a job that I don't really like. Back to the boss that don't like me. Back to the mortgage payment that I can't make. Back to whatever." And I'm saying, give it over to the Lord. If you're here and you're experiencing those troubles, just raise your hand. Just slip it up real quickly and down, and we can pray for you. Amen. You're having difficulty. You just can't get it going. You know, you're struggling. You're struggling to be the star of the testimony that you should be, and you're having a hard time. Real quickly, I'm just going to say it one more time. Just slip your hand up and down before we go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and died for us and went back to be with God and I. But he left the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to let us overcome whatever we might face, the challenges of life, so that we might live a victorious life and that your name might be glorified. We ask a special blessing upon that person who has raised their hand, who is seeking your will, seeking the comfort of your Spirit. Bless them in a special way. We all know that there probably are others here who might just not feel like putting their hands up, but they're struggling. We pray for them, dear Lord. You know them in particular. We pray for them at this time. We thank you for the wonderful time we've had here as we look into your word and as we give honor and praise to you. Bless us as we depart from this place through Jesus' holy and most precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, as we close at the end of our day, when a book of our life is opened up to us, that, looking back on our entire life, is called our life song. So the question is that at the end of the day, when God looks back on your life, what will your life song sing? What will your life song sing? See, we can go through life and we can go through, hear all these wonderful messages. We can talk about all this stuff. But what? What will your life song sing? And as we close with this song, and we'll go out and we eat our week after Easter dinner, think about it. What will your life song sing? I'm going to ask you to just rise with us as we sing this song. It's a song of celebration, because I know what I want my life song to sing. So if you want your life song to sing it, I just want you to put your hands together, clap your hands, enjoy it as they play one more time. Put your hands together.
Empty hands have I, such one sacrifice.
Not joining my life.
If not join with my life, I sing in vain tonight.
The words I say,
may the words I say and the things I do
make my life song sing.
Make my life song sing
and bring a smile to you.
Bring a smile to you.
Let my life song sing. Let my life song sing.
Let my life song sing to you.
I want to sign your name.
I want to sign your name to the end of this day, knowing that my heart was true. Let my life song sing to you.
Lord, I give my life.
Lord, I give my life. A living sacrifice to reach a world in need, to be your hands and feet.
May the words I say,
may the words I say,
and the things I do,
and the things I do,
may my life song sing,
make my life song sing,
and bring a smile to you. My life song sing.
Let my life song sing to you. Let my life song sing to you.
I want to sign your name.
I want to sign your name to the end of this day, knowing that my heart was true. Let my life song sing to you.
Let's sing hallelujah. Let's sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let my life song sing to you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let my life song sing.
Let my life song.
Let my life song sing to you.
Let my life song sing.
Let my life song sing to you.
I want to sign your name.
I want to sign your name to the end of this day, knowing that my heart was true. Let my life song.
Let my life song sing.
Let my life song sing to you. Let my life song sing to you.
I want to sign your name.
I want to sign your name to the end of this day, knowing that my heart was true. Let my life song sing to you.
Hallelujah. Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, this morning, Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, and we get back to the grind, Lord, I pray, Lord, that our life song will sing to you so that at the end of this day, Lord, I can sign your name to the end of our lifetime, knowing that my life and everybody's here life who called you was true. Lord, make my life song. Let our life song sing to you. Lord, I pray for the person who raised their hand this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you'll just meet that need. That need. Lord, and we know that there are other needs here that needs to be met by you, Lord Jesus. Lord, speak to their hearts so they too can have their life song singing in beautiful chorus to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week after Easter Sunday. See you next week.
Join with my life, I sing in vain tonight. May the words I say
the things I do. Make my life song sing and bring a smile to you. Let my life song sing to you. Let my life.